Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of True Crime on Easy Street. You know, we were just talking a couple of weeks ago about how cold it was outside. And as you listen to this on Wednesday, it's 73 degrees in Cherokee County, Alabama. Isn't that crazy?
Really?
Just stick around. The weather's going to change.
Is that what the weather's going to be?
That's what Alexa told me this morning.
I don't look at the weather to the point where, like, I walk outside and it's raining and I had no idea. Like, that's how bad I am with the weather.
There's a computer that will do that for you.
I know. But before we get too far in.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
I'm Katie Givens. I'm not a lawyer.
Scott Wright, mediocre journalist. And
I'm not Kelly Turner, but I am Shorty West.
Ooh, we've got a special guest in studio.
Kelly got a better offer today, so Shorty is filling in for us. Big fan of the show, and we love having him here.
Oh, man.
His wife, Stephanie, has already been on the show before. What was that, the JonBenet Ramsey?
No.
Case?
Columbine.
Columbine. Stephanie,
I have been trying to be on this podcast for 5 years. I've dropped hints. I've been subtle.
You're here.
I know, but now I finally made it, and I'm so happy.
Well, good. We're glad
I have
to
a group of friends that are all dreamers.
Okay.
Kelly Turner.
Yep.
She's a dreamer.
Yep.
She dreamed about this podcast.
She did.
Y'all got together. Y'all made it happen. 5 years later, here I am. Shane Givens. He's a dreamer.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He dreamed about having Easy Street.
Mm-hmm.
He thought about it for years. Bam. There it is. It's
right across the street from where we sit right now.
Yeah. Sean and Beverly dreamed of the pub.
Yep.
Got that. Jake Graves, he dreamed of Jake's on the Lake.
Yep. Not a sponsor of the show, but they could be.
Could be. So I gave you a plug there, Jake.
But we have
got a lot of dreamers. My wife, Stephanie, she's a dreamer.
Yeah.
She dreamed of being a school teacher, retiring before she was 50 years old, and marrying Prince Charming. She taught 25 years. She retired when she was 48.
Yep.
And she's still waiting on Prince Charming.
Well, I dreamed of being a championship race car driver when I was a kid, so
you dreamed like journalist, man. You went to school.
Yeah, that's true. I guess.
You have driven a race car.
I have driven a race car.
Katie wants to be a lawyer. She's dreamed.
She is on her way.
I am blessed with a group of friends that are all dreamers, because if you dream, you can aspire anything. The human race in general, you aspire, you accomplish. You have to dream.
Yep.
So when you do that, all my friends do that, and I feel blessed, and I'm glad to be here on the fifth year of True Crime on Easy Street, the number one true crime podcast in the state of Alabama.
That is correct. Thank you for the plug. We always forget to mention that, but that is true. Technically, somebody made a list, and we were number one on that list. So we're excited about that.
Who are we to argue with the list
makers? Yeah, I'm not saying a word about it. So, Katie, you're in the big chair today.
Yeah.
And I don't have any idea what we're talking about. I am literally and figuratively the dummy in the room, along with Travis.
Oh, yeah. I definitely am a dummy.
So lead away.
If you need a list of things I'm not, you can also ask Stephanie that.
She's probably got a list somewhere, right? Do we have any shout outs before we get started?
That. Do you? I don't.
I think I do if I can find it. But I'm not sure exactly where it is in my notes.
Do you want to give a rundown of what's happening at Easy Street?
Yeah, that's what we were going to do. So we've got two shows coming up at Easy Street on February the 7th. That is the, help me out.
The M80s.
That's the M80s. Those tickets are available at Ticket Leap. So it's easystreet.ticketleap.com.
Mm-hmm.
And if you visit that website, that page, you'll see the M80s show listed on February the 7th. The Motown show is coming on February the 14th, and you can buy tickets for either one of those shows or both. We'd love to have you for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
They're $15 a piece. You'll get to see the freshly repainted interior of Easy Street Restaurant, Bar, and Performance Hall. Crews are outside spilling paint in the driveway right now.
That is true. We are painting. And also, I've never thought about this, but I could put the link to the tickets in the show notes, so I'll do that.
Yeah, that'd be a good idea.
You know, make it easy for you. Yeah. You don't have to go somewhere.
If I had a shout out, I can't find it. We'll save it for next week.
There you go. Shout out to Kelly. She's had a tough go of it. She's, got things she's got to be doing today. We miss her very much. We wish it was four of us sitting here, but we're so thankful that Shorty could fill in.
Indeed.
But yeah, I guess I can get started if we're ready.
Let's do it.
Today we're going to be talking about Robert Eric Wone. Robert was a fourth-generation Chinese-American. He was born in Manhattan, but and raised in Brooklyn. So he is a New Yorker.
Big time.
He's going to make his way a little further south after graduating from Xavierian High School. He was the valedictorian of his high school class. He probably had a little more competition than my high school class.
Yeah.
We had How one many thing did in you common. Have? 41.
33 in mine.
Oh, hey, Cedar Bluff 91.
All three Cedar Bluff graduates sitting in the room together.
I finished in the top 30 of my class.
So there were 30 in your class?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Robert was a little smarter than us, probably from his career trajectory. But he then attended the College of William and Mary as a James Monroe Scholar, and I looked up what that was, and that means he was in the top 10% at William and Mary. There, he is going to meet a man named Joseph Price. Joseph was a senior when Robert started school, and they're going to become fast friends. This is around... the school year was 92 to 93, so they either met in 92 or 93. They're going to share several activities. They're going to be in the Honor Society together, in student government positions. And then Joseph Price is going to graduate in 93, and Robert's still going to keep on at William & Mary.
Okay. 93, that was the year that I graduated from college.
Yes. Well.
Yeah.
It was the year I was born.
Thanks for the reminder.
Robert is going to graduate from William & Mary in 96, and he is going to go on to law school and receive his JD from UPenn or Penn State. How do you?
University of Pennsylvania.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Is that Penn State?
No.
No, is that different? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, University of Pennsylvania Law School in 99. He is then going to serve as a law clerk to Judge Raymond Jackson of the Federal District Court of the Eastern District of Virginia. So, going to be a law clerk for a federal judge.
Yeah, he's on that trajectory for a very, very successful career.
Yes. He is going to then work in commercial real estate law for around 6 years in D.C. with the firm of Covington and Burlington. No, I'm sorry, Covington and Burling. And serving at that law firm, he's going to have a public service section of their...
Yeah.
Duties or whatever. So part of his public service responsibilities at the firm, he's going to serve as general counsel for the Organization of Chinese Americans.
So that's like their version of pro bono work, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's what I was fixing to ask.
Yeah.
I'm not a lawyer, obviously, but I'm thinking. Well,
she's almost a lawyer. She should have told us without us having to ask.
Yeah.
That's on you, Katie.
I don't really, we don't have a lot of pro bono work around here.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, he's going to work for the Organization of Chinese Americans. Remember, he's a fourth generation Chinese American. On June 7th of 2003, he's going to marry Catherine Ellen Yu, and they're going to live in Fairfax County, Virginia. So that's like outside of D.C. area.
But not
like,
too far, right? Don't a lot of people who live in or work in D.C. live in sort of that area?
From what I can tell, yes. That's like a nice like suburban area.
Yeah.
So you're out of the metro, but you're still like people are going to work in D.C. and live here.
Right.
On June 30th of 2006, Robert is going to leave that job in commercial real estate, and he's going to be hired as general counsel for Radio Free Asia.
Sounds interesting.
So Radio Free Asia is a news service that broadcasts radio programs and publishes online news, information, and commentary for its audiences in Asia. So the service provides editorially independent reporting, supposed to be independent, and it's got the stated mission of providing accurate and uncensored reporting to countries in Asia that have poor media environments and limited protections for free speech and free press. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to get information out to these countries that their own governments are suppressing that information.
Right.
So Radio Free Asia is an American government-funded operation. It's a nonprofit corporation headquartered in D.C., and it's got news bureaus and journalists in Asia, Europe, and Australia. So he's going to be serving as general counsel.
Wow. That's sounds like a lot of responsibility.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like something very close to his heart.
Yeah.
Probably a lot more fulfilling than working in commercial real estate.
Yeah.
Robert's going to be very active within the Asian American community. He supports organizations such as the Organization of Chinese Americans, like we talked about earlier, the Museum of Chinese in America. That sounds weird, but I looked it up. Yeah. It's called the Museum of Chinese in America.
All right.
He was even, at the time that our story is getting to, he's going to be the president-elect of the Asian Pacific American Bar Association.
Wow.
So he was very involved in the Asian American community, the Chinese American community. Now, on August 2nd, 2006, Robert is going to stay overnight at a row house on Swan Street in Washington's DuPont Circle neighborhood. Now, this row house is owned by that college friend, Joseph Price.
Okay.
And Joseph owns this house along with his domestic partner, Victor Zaborski, where they also live with a man named Dylan Ward. And they are in a polyamorous family unit.
All right. And I'm guessing Mr. Zaborski is not from China.
Zaborski?
Yeah, that.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
What is polyamorous?
That means everybody's with everybody else.
Yeah, so they're in like a throuple.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They all living together. Mm-hmm. Living together.
Yes, it's three men living together as a family unit. Yeah. Now, Robert's spending the night with them because they this is in D.C. They live in a row house in D.C. And he is going to have worked late. He's working long. It's summer, August, so long summer hours in D.C. Didn't want to get on the road and drive back to Virginia.
Probably got to be back first thing in the morning, mm-hmm. So take a bag, stay at your buddy's house.
Yep. So he decided to stay overnight. Joseph is also a lawyer at this point, so they kind of, they understand the work hours of each other. And they've got a guest room, so it is offered to Robert. I'm not sure if he had stayed here previously. It seemed like a very innocuous thing, like I'm going to stay at Joseph's, So he gets to the house about 10:30 at night. So that is a long work hour.
Yeah. He's had a tough day.
Yeah. If I'm working at 10:30 at night, I've done something wrong.
Yeah.
Something's not right. Come check on me. Now, August 2nd, 2006 is going to be the last night that Robert is going to be able to stay the night anywhere, because on that night, he is going to be fatally stabbed.
In the house?
I'm sorry,
you're going to tell me.
He had 3 clean slits on his chest, including one that pierced his heart, probably the fatal blow.
Mm-hmm.
According to one paramedic, it appeared that the 32-year-old's body had been showered and redressed before being placed in bed.
Well, that is very strange.
Yeah. Somebody, that's weird.
Yeah.
There's barely any blood. No blood on him or the floor. No blood coming from any of the 3 wounds. There's no signs of disarray in the house, no sign of struggle, no broken lamp,
Right. Yeah, something you would think that if somebody's coming at me with a knife, I'm going to try to run away or throw something at them or something.
The house, are they all there? Is it like a full house?
It's a full house.
Mm.
It's a tidy house.
This is getting stranger and stranger.
It's very well kept. The whole property appeared tidy. Nothing valuable was taken. By the time paramedics had arrived, it appeared that Robert had been dead for some time. He's going to be lying flat on his back on a pull-out couch that had been made up as a bed. His head's on the pillow, and his arms are down at his side. A light film of blood with striation marks was on top of him. It kind of on it. Looked like someone would have took a towel and wiped.
Okay.
If you can imagine that.
A smear of what remained of blood.
He was wearing a t-shirt and gym shorts. His other clothes were folded neatly nearby. Like I said, to all investigators, it seemed like no struggle had occurred, especially no violent struggle.
Yeah. I'm curious to know if there's an autopsy report that is a part of this story.
Yes.
Okay.
While there was a knife found, the knife found's blade was too large to be considered the murder weapon. Mm-hmm. And now you're probably like, wait, what?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm waiting to figure this out.
Neighbors reported hearing a scream, which later they're going to identify as Zaborski's scream, not a scream from Robert. They said that they heard the scream during the 11 o'clock newscast. So it had to have happened by 11 and before 11:35.
Yeah, right.
Zaborski's going to make the 911 call at 11:49. And paramedics are going to arrive 5 minutes later. Like I said, they're in town. They're in a row house in DuPont Circle, right. Washington, D.C. So authorities should be very close by.
But so there's only an hour in between the time that he got there,
mm-hmm,
and the call was made.
Since he supposedly got there, yeah.
Okay.
So paramedics are going to arrive within 5 minutes. They're going to be closely followed by officers of a Metro Police Department. Mm. Joseph Price is going to call Robert's wife. And then Robert's going to be pronounced dead at George Washington University Hospital at 12:24 a.m. on August 3rd. Like I said, he was 32 years old.
Mm. I'm very confused.
I'm going to try to help you out with that.
Yeah.
After this word from our sponsors. Hello, Cherokee County. If you are looking for a health option where the staff makes you feel like family, then you don't have to look any further than Cherokee Family Healthcare.
Cherokee Family Healthcare treats patients of all ages with emphasis on personalized care. Call 256-266-1021 to schedule an appointment or just walk right into the office at 819 West Main Street in Center. That's right across from the post office. If you're not feeling well, do that and let them get you returned to good health.
They offer primary care health services, urgent care, DOT physicals, weight loss, IV hydration. You can get same-day appointments and walk-ins are welcome. Like I said, just give them a call at 256-266-1021. They're at 819 West Main Street in Center. That's like kind of right across from the post office.
Right across.
You can't miss it.
Katie and Kelly, let me tell you guys a quick story. Recently, I was dining at Easy Street, and I met a man who told me that he and his wife were planning to retire soon to the Weislake area from out of state. I told him that the best person for him to call to help him find a home in the area is Greg Oliver. Greg is the owner and broker at Go Realty. And if you're like the man that I met who is thinking of moving here, or if you're looking for property or a home anywhere in Northeast Alabama or Northwest Georgia, you should call Greg Oliver at 256-504-3847. Greg has a full list of waterfront, residential, commercial, farm, and investment properties, and he is ready to help you find exactly what you're looking for. Greg has 25 years of experience in the real estate market, and you can see a complete list of his current properties by visiting gregoliverweislake.com. So visit the website or call Greg at Go Realty today. The number is 256-504-3847.
Hey, true crime fans. It's time to start planning your 2025 summer vacation. And why not take it right here in Cherokee County, Alabama?
We have a ton of things to do here in Cherokee County. You can wet a hook in Weiss Lake, swing away at Cherokee Pines Golf Club, take in the breathtaking views at Cherokee Rock Village, hike the National Preserve at Little River Canyon, enjoy an all-day splash at Pirates Bay Water Park, and there's so much more.
The Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce and Tourism has a full list of lodgings, RV sites, kayak rentals, and campgrounds, and they're all anxious to meet your vacation needs, whatever they may be.
So come stay with us this summer from wherever you are. Plan your Northeast Alabama summer staycation by visiting cherokee-chamber.org.
All right. Thanks to all of our wonderful sponsors for helping out with the show. And Katie is right in the middle of her story. Go ahead, Katie.
So when authorities arrive, okay, remember there's three other men that live in this house.
Yeah. And they're all there the entire time.
Are all three going to have appeared to have recently showered?
Aha! The plot thickens.
And they're all wearing white bathrobes when the authorities arrive.
Man, this is some strange stuff.
That's creepy, right?
Yeah.
I actually own a bathrobe, and I look creepy to me in the mirror when I have it on. But it's comfy, and I like it. But three guys standing right beside each other, you got Mo, Larry, and Curly all wearing the same outfit? That's weird.
With a stab man.
Yeah, and we don't know what happened, but our buddy's stabbed right here.
Yeah, let's put some pants on.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a big bathrobe proponent. I wear them all the time. But yeah, I've called the 911. I'll probably put some pants
yeah.
on.
Yeah, you got 5 minutes. Get dressed.
The first EMT that arrived on the scene is featured in, so there's a documentary about this on Peacock called Who Killed Robert Wong?
I want to watch this.
It's a two-part documentary, and he's featured in it, and he is going to share that he just said something was off. He's like, when he got there, like, there's no blood on the torso. He just felt like the manner in which the three other men acted was strange. He just, vibes were off.
I concur.
Yeah, I said vibes were off when you told me three men standing there in white bathrobes.
Yeah, me too.
And so Price, Zaborski, and Ward are all going to initially speak with the police without attorneys. Now remember, Price is an attorney.
Yeah.
And the other two men are not. But they're going to speak without attorneys. There's going to be video recordings of those interviews that will come out later. The three men are going to deny any involvement in Robert's death, and they speculate that an intruder had killed him.
That certainly seems to be what somebody has tried to make it look that way.
Yeah, they're going to speculate that an intruder has killed him, and they are also going to deny that they were in any kind of sexual relationship with Robert.
Okay.
So remember, they're all three in a sexual relationship with each other.
Yeah, but he's just our buddy who's staying over the night.
That's what they've said. They said that they describe him like this, and his family is going to describe him as a straight and happily married man.
Well, I mean, it certainly wouldn't be the first time in the history of marriage that somebody was faking it, but no evidence of it. It seems like he was a straight married person who was just crashing with his buddies.
Yes.
Okay.
All three men are going to attend Robert's funeral. And Joseph Price is going to serve as a pallbearer. I mean, remember, they're old college buddies.
Well, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, O.J. Simpson went to Nicole Brown Simpson's funeral.
That's true. That's true. Can't get away from O.J.
Yeah, sorry. I'm watching that new documentary on Netflix. I've seen the first one. It ends with the funerals.
So at the time, he would be the future U.S. Attorney General, Eric Holder.
Yeah.
He had worked at Robert's former employer, that Covington and Burling.
Okay.
And he called Robert a kind and gentle man, and he said he was, you know, killed in one of the most horrible ways. He is also, throughout this, going to offer help and counsel to Robert's widow. So, like, they knew each other.
Holder is.
Yes, Eric Holder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he ends up being Obama's AG.
Mm-hmm. Right, so it would have been this happened in 06, so.
Yeah, and Obama was elected in
08.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he was not the Attorney General at the time, but, you know, history plays out.
Yeah.
Now, the trio of men are going to be charged with obstruction of justice in 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Defense attorney Bernie Grimm, who also spoke out in the documentary I talked about, he's going to argue that the police did not thoroughly investigate the possibility of an intruder. And that, according to reports, Robert's widow is also going to file a wrongful death lawsuit against them the same year, 2008.
Yeah.
And they're going to plead the fifth on that.
Yeah. Well, they're just, I mean, it sounds like a fishing expedition to just try and see if you can get somebody to turn on the other two? Because, I mean, this is starting to sound like they're all three in on it, or at least they all three assisted in the cover-up of whatever it was.
We're going to talk about some possibilities. So possibility number one is the intruder.
Sure. That's possible.
Remember, this is the theory of the three men that are in the house at the time of the death. Mm. They said that they heard a that they heard a person heading down the stairs of their home when they went to investigate a series of grunts coming from the guest bedroom.
All right.
So they heard a series of grunts coming from the guest bedroom. They go to investigate that. As they're investigating that, they hear someone heading down the stairs, is what they say.
Okay.
So So they all three hear the grunt and they all three go together like the three blind mice.
That's what they say.
Their story is, they're sticking to their story so far.
Anyway.
They claim that an intruder must have entered their home from the townhouse's back door, which had been left open and could be reached if they had jumped over their garden fence. I don't know if y'all have ever been to D.C.
I have not.
But they have these rows of homes and they'll have these little garden fences, which are like a foot or two high. So it's not really a fence. It's just kind of like a barrier from the street to the yard.
Okay.
And so you could jump up. Like it's nothing going to keep anyone out.
Okay.
They said that they had not heard anyone coming up the stairs of their home. So they didn't, whoever in their eyes came in, they didn't hear them come up the stairs, nor could they explain why the alleged killer had chosen to go past Ward's room. So he would have had to pass one of their bedrooms and enter the guest bedroom across the hallway. So they're like, well, we don't know why he walked past this room and went in this room, but they did. None of the men saw this alleged intruder. And the police largely dismissed their witness testimony because they believed that there was just complete lack of evidence to support this theory.
Yeah, I know why they didn't see him, because he was never there.
He was a ghost.
Yeah.
Okay. Second theory. Someone in the house did it.
Yep.
When the crime first took place, police believed that one of the people in the house with him did it. Because, of course, that's what they believe.
Yeah.
Someone's murdered. There's three other people in the house.
Yep. I'm with them so far.
Have we all played the game of Clue?
Yeah.
Right. You know, it's Susie with the candlestick in the library. Like, exactly. I don't know. So, they all, of course, deny any involvement. The police investigation found out that Robert had been sexually assaulted.
Uh-oh.
And they believed he had either been restrained or injected with a drug that had paralyzed him.
That's what I want to hear about.
As there were puncture marks found on his body. Now,
he was only there for an hour.
Supposedly.
And all this took, somebody was waiting.
Like,
as soon as he came in, they had to get the stabbing and punching and the other stuff.
Yeah.
And the shower and everything else.
Yeah. I mean, it had to have been like right when he got there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Because they say he arrived around 10:30. So I don't know how substantial that time frame is. Like, if he was for sure at work at a certain time and we know when he left work, I don't know that.
Yeah.
Also, it is mentioned the surgical precision with which he had been cut suggested that he had not moved when he was stabbed. Like, it's not jag. It's in and out.
Yeah.
In and out. However, there were no traces of drugs in his system, according to the autopsy report.
Well, shit.
So, there are puncture marks on his body. Mm-hmm. But no traces of drugs in the autopsy report.
Curious.
Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe there's... Surely the prosecutor, coroner is going to know of any kind of drugs that could disappear that fast. And don't forget that all of the blood has been removed from his body.
We're in Washington, D.C. We're not in Arkansas.
Okay, you got me there. But I mean, if all the blood's out of his body...
Yeah.
Because he's been showered and he's been wiped down. So there's no blood left in his body. So the if there was something in his body, and somebody that knows more about the medical world than me will have to figure this out. But maybe that's why.
Maybe. I'm assuming that. Yeah, you know, I don't know. Because there's no longer blood coming out of him. There's got to be some blood, they don't know how to,
Right.
Drain.
They didn't drain his body completely dry. Yeah.
You said he was big in his Asian community and doing the free radio thing in the public service. He's fourth generation, as you said, Chinese American. Do they think maybe he pissed off the Chinese really bad and they sent in like
I hadn't thought about that.
An assassin.
Yeah.
And, wow.
You know, that's what
didn't you say he was like the bar of the.
He was the president elect of the Asian American.
It could have been a Chi-Com hit.
Yeah, that's what the Saudis did to Jamal Khashoggi.
We'll get rid of him. He can't cause us any more trouble. Yep. I don't know. I mean, is that possible?
It's not a theory I have here, but I like it.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. It makes as much sense as anything mm-hmm. else. So
makes far. More sense than three guys being in the house and not hearing somebody come in, stab somebody, have mm-hmm. sex with them, shower them off, drain all their blood, and then we're going to walk. That doesn't make any sense. That yeah. makes more sense to me that somebody was waiting on him.
Right. And a professional at
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And all this other stuff makes sense. Mm-hmm. The reason why they didn't find the drug, because it was undetectable.
Yeah. Something new that yeah. only the Chinese know about.
Yeah. Anyway.
Mine is blown right now.
Maybe that same lab where they invented COVID, right?
Never know.
Well, here in, authorities are going to find in this house, there's a large collection of BDSM items, which I mean,
well, that's not too far from
what we're dealing with
believable,
here. Yeah.
Right.
Including things that could have been used to restrain a person during sex, and then they believed that that might have been relevant to the case because we think he was restrained because he's not moving
yeah.
when he's being stabbed. However, they investigated the items and found none of them linked to his murder. Like, they couldn't link any of these BDSM items to the murder. And now, like I said, while a knife was found at the scene, mm-hmm. the blade was too large, and police were unable to find the murder weapon. The knife was not there. They did argue that a blade was missing from a cutlery set in Dylan's room. So, I don't know why there's a cutlery set in
I think
in
we
the
all
room.
Had the same thought at the same time. Why is there a cutlery set yeah, in his room?
This is a podcast y'all can't see, but Scott and Shorty have exchanged the looks on that one. And the blade that was missing was the right size for the crime. However, during the obstruction of justice trial, mm-hmm. Dylan's mother is going to take the witness stand, and she's going to testify that she had gifted the set to her son, and she had kept the smaller blade. I mean, I don't know how much you can take the testimony of a mother yeah. into consideration, but that's what she said.
Moms will do some crazy shit to protect their children.
Yeah. Now, third theory is that they covered it up. So,
I mean, I don't know why not just go ahead and, I mean, I guess when you start trying to get rid of a body, mm-hmm. things get really complicated really fast. And so maybe they weighed their options and they thought, should we throw him in the trunk? What if somebody sees us when we're putting him in the trunk or taking him out of the trunk? Mm-hmm. Or what if somebody finds his body after it washes up when we throw it into the Potomac River or whatever?
Yeah.
Maybe it's better if we just leave him here and play stupid and hope we get away with it.
Well, this theory starts by saying that they tampered with the scene to cover up the crime for someone, either one of them
yeah.
or just another individual in general.
Okay.
When first speaking with police, Price said that he had found the knife placed on top of Robert's torso and that he had moved the blade to the bedside table. This knife, I'm telling you, we've had in the room that
so
we know is not the murder
he's
weapon.
He's touched it.
Yes.
Guys and gals, let me give you some advice. If you ever walk into a murder scene, don't touch what might be the murder weapon.
Yeah. And this is a well-educated attorney. Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm suspicious about somebody mm-hmm. with a lot of forethought. I mean, this almost sounds planned. This doesn't sound like something that happened by accident and then they scrambled to cover it up.
No, because he's going to later change his witness statement and say that he actually took the knife out of Robert's torso. But we know that that can't be true either. This blade does not fit.
Right.
It's not the same knife.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
He's lying.
If the blade doesn't fit, you must acquit.
Ooh.
Yeah, and this is not like, you know, we go all day into the gloves.
Yeah, let's don't do that. We've already done that.
Yeah. Police believe that the blood splatter on the knife and the evidence of white fibers on the weapon suggested that the blade had been wiped with a towel, which appeared to support the theory that the weapon was not the one used to kill Robert, as it didn't have any traces of his gray t-shirt on it.
Yeah, you would think that fabric.
Mm-hmm. So if he's got fibers from a towel on it, from just wiping it, you would have fibers from the t-shirt that you sliced through.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Oh, like I said, we call back to that they were all wearing bathrobes and appeared to have recently showered when the police got there. They also believed that the lack of blood on the scene and around Robert suggested that it had been cleaned up or that he had been moved. Mm-hmm. Of course.
Yeah.
And according to the documentary, police found trace amounts of blood in two locations in the home, but they were unable to investigate them sufficiently to determine if they had cleaned up the scene. So there was blood in two other places besides the...
Okay. But I mean, that's so far, it sounds like the best fucking clue there is. Mm-hmm. And that's the one they didn't sufficiently investigate.
Mm-hmm.
Confusing.
Did they look for the towels? Like, did they check, like, if they're looking for knives and cutlery and finding a guy's got some cutlery in his bedroom, can mm-hmm. they not just go in the closet
and say, find a bunch of bloody towels?
Hey, yeah, well, right. You should have eight towels. You've got six. Where's
yeah,
the other
right.
two?
Where are the other two towels?
Yeah. Yeah. There's not evidence of missing towels, I guess, but there's not evidence of bloody towels either. So there's towels somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere. Somewhere in a landfill in Virginia.
Like I said, we're back to that trial that they were on. They were all found not guilty of conspiracy, obstruction of justice, and tampering with evidence.
What?
So that's what they were charged with. Conspiracy, obstruction of justice, and tampering with evidence.
Jury trial?
Yeah.
Okay.
No.
No. Bench trial?
Bench trial.
Okay.
The judge is going to claim that while it's a woman, while she felt the three men were withholding knowledge of who killed Robert, she could not say beyond a reasonable doubt that they were guilty of the charges.
Well, I can.
Like I said, they are going to adamantly deny any involvement in his death. To this day.
That's what you got to do. You got to stick with your story, no matter what.
And their story is still intruder. But in 2011, they are going to settle with Robert's widow in her wrongful death lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the amount's undisclosed and it's sealed, but yeah. They do settle that lawsuit.
Okay. Just to make it go away.
I'm sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Like I said, one of them is an attorney. And yeah, she's right. had help throughout this from... Eric Holder.
From Eric Holder. Who became, I mean, he was the attorney general by the time that case was adjudicated. What did you say, 2011?
2010. Oh, yeah. Yeah. By the time that, yeah, 2011.
So he's the attorney general of the United States at that point. So that's a good friend to have on your side mm-hmm. if you've got a dead husband and no answers.
Like I said, he wasn't her attorney, but he did help her out. Now, in the documentary, two things that are said of Robert. They're going to say they wish they had more footage of Robert. You can see him. There's some photos of him. You see him smile in those photos. And by all accounts, he was a witty, warm, kind young man. And like it's said of him, he was almost too good to be true kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a really good guy. He seemed to be this perfect guy. He had so much going for him. He was well respected. He was destined to do great things. And, of course, just the situation is just deeply troubling and sad.
I just don't, I mean, I wish I knew more about his personal life because mm-hmm. it just seems to me like that's where maybe the answer, one of the possible answers to this lies because there's got to be some reason. It's not just this isn't just a sex game gone bad, is it?
I can't.
Or maybe it is.
I can't imagine. So it's so messed up.
Yeah, it is messed up.
I don't know how many. Sex games involve getting stabbed in the heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
None that I want to play.
Me either.
Yeah. But I just wonder, I don't know, if somebody, maybe he didn't want to do it. He put up a fight.
Yeah.
Somebody was swinging a knife and this is very confusing.
So there's a 2016 Blade article that's going to come out and they're just going to put these three guys on blast and tell you who they are now, what they're doing.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you too.
Okay, sure.
Joseph Price and Dylan Ward had changed their names to Joseph Anderson and Dylan Thomas.
Okay.
And they, Price is going to work for the Americans for Immigrant Justice, a Miami-based immigrant advocacy group since 2013. And Ward has become a massage practitioner and Pilates instructor.
So their lives continued.
Mm-hmm. He's going to be working at a Pilates studio in Fort Lauderdale as recently as 2023.
Mm-hmm. So they moved down, moved a good ways away from the Fairfax area.
I'll be in Fort Lauderdale pretty soon. I like Pilates. Maybe I should.
Maybe I should some investigating.
Hop on in. Hmm. Zaborski did not change his name. And he continues to work for the Milk Processing Education Program.
I don't know what that is.
Milk PEP, as it's labeled, a D.C.-based dairy and milk industry trade association where he had worked since 1995. So he's
kept his job and kept chugging right on through life.
He is known to have worked for this as recently as 2020 is what they could have found out in 2016. And property records showed at the time that Price and Zaborski owned a house in Miami, in a Miami suburb.
I mean, I guess life goes on, right? But I'm just really sad for this guy's family not to get any justice, it seems like. So somebody murdered that man.
They never figured it out.
They have, to this day, never figured out.
Oh man!
Who killed Robert Wong? That's why the documentary on Peacock, 2023 documentary. Who killed Robert Wong?
I'm gonna watch that. That's Peacock. You said
Peacock.
I'm gonna get Peacock tonight and watch it.
Directed by Jared P. Scott.
Mm. All right.
But yeah.
Spell the victim's name. W-O-N-E. Is that right?
W-O-N-E.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Robert Wong.
Sorry, we haven't. Everybody out there knows how to spell it because they saw the title card when they pulled up the episode, but I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, and my accent probably doesn't help with that. But no, in insanity, it's happened in the middle of D.C. He was a, you know, respected attorney.
Mm-hmm. Something about that personal life. There's something going on there.
Yeah, I don't know.
They were in some secret organization, or the other three conspired against him. It doesn't sound like, I don't know. Is it money involved? Is it somebody broke up with somebody else? Something weird going on personally in that personal life situation there. That's my guess.
Price and Zaborski are still together, and then Ward went off and got married to someone else, so they're not in this throuple anymore, mm-hmm. but... or polyamorous.
Very confusing.
Yeah.
Very good show. I mean, wow. I wish there was more to know about.
I know. I can't, when I had started, this was a suggestion. Was this suggested from Cade too?
Maybe. Did Cade Gossett, friend of the show, Cade Gossett, suggest this? Cade, text me and let me know if you did when you hear this. In case we don't figure it out.
It was
we
a
go.
Suggestion. I do remember that. And so when I got to looking into it, I didn't expect it to be unsolved.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, man, we don't know what happened to this guy. Oh, man.
Well, sometimes it's unavoidable.
This is sketchy. Yeah.
Very sketchy. Sometimes you just don't know. I mean, we've done them before. It's always frustrating for us as much as it is for people who want to hear some resolution to these shows when they're over. But sometimes that's just the way it bounces.
My last... Yeah. One was unsolved too. My bad, or Cade's bad. I think he's suggested them both.
Thanks, Cade.
Oh man,
if that was you. Well, we've done. I mean, what Boys on the Tracks is unsolved, right?
Yeah.
So sometimes it just happens that way.
That's insane that, like in 2006, when this took place, I'm just thinking it just seems like there's three people inside this house.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know if Ring cameras were popular back then or whatever and all this.
The iPhone didn't come out until 07.
So it just, I don't know. It just seems
BlackBerry.
Yeah, it seems like they'd have something to go on. And I guess it's just a cold case now.
Yeah.
Well, and then the fact that they never, no one was charged with murder ever.
I mean, did they look at the washing machine? Like, did they wash anything?
I'm sure they did.
The drains?
Yeah, like you would think that...
Let's get some evidence.
That they investigated as much as they could. But didn't you say at one point, Katie, that somebody...
I mean, they found blood in other parts of the house, but they didn't...
Well, didn't you say their attorney was critical of the way the police had conducted the investigation.
They said that they didn't feel like they fully investigated the possibility of an intruder enough.
Okay. I mean, that's a standard defense technique, blame it on the cops.
Right.
But sometimes that's accurate. Sometimes the cops screw it up.
I mean, and you hear from the paramedics, they're the ones saying this was sketchy, the vibes were off. Weird when we got there, because paramedics were first on the scene before the police. But I mean, you would think, and police are probably not going to be as forthcoming with talking about it as paramedics would, but you would think that everybody would catch on to those vibes. You would, and I guess you don't want to charge someone, you get one shot at it.
Yeah. And you can't charge them based on a feeling.
Right. I guess you can charge them, but it's not going to go anywhere.
There you go.
And then, you know, if you get to trial, and they get off.
That's done.
So,
double indemnity. You're finished.
Yeah. So.
That's true. You gotta have an airtight case.
But you know, you see, if this was a TV show, they would all been charged with murder.
Oh yeah.
You know.
But. Yeah, I had to get. I was like, got called for jury duty like not long ago, and it's one of the high profile cases, and then you have to fill out this big, huge packet.
Yeah.
All right, and you have to disclose all these information so they can vet you.
Mm-hmm. So Vordire.
And it's like, what kind of podcast do you listen to?
Uh-oh.
Oh, man. And I was like, you know, True Crime on Easy Street, Dateline, 2020, you know, Snap. I was like, all this stuff. And then I was like, Bible in the Year podcast by Dr. Father Mike Schmidt. I was like, oh, man, they're going to think I'm insane. And the guy got up there. He got up there and he was like talking to the whole group. And he was like, I'm just going to tell y'all, this trial isn't like something you listen to on podcast. It ain't going to be solved in an hour. And I was like, oh, God, he's talking to me. So we didn't solve this in an hour. So.
Right.
Mm-mm. Anyway.
And he was right about that anyway.
And you didn't end up having to serve on that jury, did you?
No, I did not. I got cut finally at the very end.
Yeah, because we both got called for jury duty for that same case. Mm-hmm. And I was able to get out earlier than you. I would have liked to have served. I mean, I'm not trying to just get out of jury duty to get out of jury duty, but I physically could not be there till 5 o'clock every day.
Yeah, I was glad that I didn't have to do that. Yeah. I was stressed.
I have never served on a jury. I've gotten off of jury duty a couple of times because it was a high profile murder case and I was covering it.
Oh.
So I had to go to the circuit clerk and say, look, you can't make me do this, please, because I want to cover it.
Unlike
the
murder cases you have failed to cover here recently.
I knew somebody was going to bring that up. And that's my fault. I shoved my own foot in my mouth. Thank you, Katie, for reminding everybody that I am indeed a mediocre journalist.
Yes, because, you know, the stat right now in Cherokee County is that we don't have any pending intentional murder.
Zero. Nothing on the docket.
Which seems like somebody begging for someone to go out and murder someone. It feels jinxy. Mm-hmm. Let me just...
Yeah,
on
yeah
all
go
the
ahead
wood.
And do that. But yeah, I got the press release. We've all seen it by now. But it said that recent murder case that was completed in Cherokee County.
Conviction.
Wiped everything. That's the last one on the docket. So no unsolved murder cases or no unprosecuted. Well, no, there's not
pending,
a murder case.
There's nothing pending yet.
Right.
Nobody is out there accused of murder waiting on trial.
Way to go us.
Cherokee.
You know, I would like to think that True Crime on Easy Street had something to do with the fact that we've cleaned up the murder scene around here.
They don't want to end up on this podcast. They're like, please don't let these amateurs talk about me
These three dipshits are not talking about my case.
Well.
And we exclude you from the dipshit list. You're just Travis. We meant Kelly. She's the other dipshit.
Oh, no.
But we're glad to have you here today. Thanks for coming in and doing the show with us today.
Appreciate it, buddy.
Yes, thank you, Shorty. We are so happy you got to come. Maybe next time you can bring your own
case.
You
can do the case next time if you like. You've seen how we make the sausage back here now.
Yeah, yeah.
So next time you can do it yourself. Guys, say something nice about us on your podcast platform of choice. If it's Apple iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Leave your name when you say something nice about us, and we'll give you a shout-out on the show. We would prefer if you listen to us on Spotify. You can leave some kind words about us there as well. Go to the website, truecrimeoneasystreet.com. There's a link that will take you to Spotify so that you can listen to us on the show anytime you like. We've got almost 200 episodes. We're coming up very soon on our 200th episode.
We can't forget. We keep saying
I've got it circled on the desk at my office, so we'll be in good shape. Is that it, guys? Are we done?
That's it.
Good night, everybody.